the book of Philippians. I don't know if it's Philippians or Philippians. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. Turn to the book of Philippians, but I think it's Philippians. Good to see you, Brother Waller. God bless you, Sister Waller. I know you've been on a long journey, but you've returned. Amen. And we are glad that you're here and able to be in service. Philippians chapter number 2, and I want to begin reading with verse number 1. And I'll give you just a minute, or just a second or two. There. Philippians chapter 2, verses number 1 through 3. If there be any consolation in Christ, everybody say consolation. For vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem, everybody say esteem, other better than themselves. I want to share some things with you that has been a strength to me. And some weeks ago, maybe perhaps months even, I think I was laying down, and I heard these words, my people need encouragement. And I got up the next morning, and I went to prayer, and I and so I began to look further into the Word of God and get understanding. You know, normally when we teach or preach, God just gives us the thought. He gives us the spirit of the message. He gives us the message. And then we are responsible and we begin to study and get understanding. God doesn't want you and I just to be a spiritual couch potato and just sit there and expect Him to just download everything that we need when He's given us the book of life. And He's given us the ability to respond and to be responsible. Need to be encouraged. Resound in my spirit. And I, no doubt, am standing here today because someone encouraged me. Aren't you glad that God sends people into your life to encourage you in your walk with God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, this time together. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for divine protection. Thank you for your living word. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Speak to our hearts as we open ourselves up to you to learn of you today. Amen. You may be seated. In a world that is full of negative reports, negative information, in fact, you don't have to go very far to hear the latest gossip, to hear of all the tragedies, all of the things that disturb you, that disappoint you. You don't have to go very far. You can look on the internet or the newspaper or on magazine racks, or you can just news. It's amazing how fast the negative reports travel. You ever notice that in our world, that it's usually the negative things that travel the fastest? It's normally the negative things that go viral, and in a matter of minutes, thousands or hundreds of thousands or even millions of people discover the negative report. In fact, in some cases, the evil report. And in fact, there's a lot of propaganda in our world, and the enemy is the instigator, and he wants to sow into our spirit, our mind, our heart, our thinking, a sense of hopelessness, a sense of despair. But we are not without hope, are we? No, we're not in despair. But the reality is, you know, through the media, if you give much attention to the media, you will soon be disappointed and perhaps even emotionally depressed because of the things that you see and hear, all negative reports. And we know the reality of prophecy, that the things prophesied, foretold by the Lord himself and by the prophets will come to pass. And that is reality. But there's a lot of other things that the enemy wants us to focus on so that we lose our attention and we lose our focus on what God wants us to do and the life that God wants us to live in spite of all of the negative events or the disappointing news, etc. And I realize that even me as a minister, preacher, teacher, as a parent, as a leader, it's very easy to point out all of the negatives. It's very easy to point out all the faults, all the flaws, all of the things that need help, that need attention, that need correction. But when the Lord spoke to me, I believe it was the Lord that spoke to me that day, it helped me to understand that I have a responsibility to encourage the people of God, and so do you. You know, we can get into this routine, and I've caught myself, and I've noticed it in myself, we can get into this pattern that all we ever do is point out what you need to do and what you need to fix. And we overlook the good that is happening. We overlook the progress. We overlook what God is doing, maybe in increments. And we overlook the growth and the small improvement. And we focus on what needs to be helped, what needs to be fixed. And I find myself doing that I have to kind of shake myself a little bit and realize that they don't need me to be always getting on to them about every little thing. They need me to be encouraging them and helping them find ways to resolve the issue or take care of the problem or become more efficient. Am I making sense so far? So I believe as God's people, we don't need to conform to the patterns of this world. We need to be void of gossip. We need to be void of cynicism and being critical. And I understand that there are things that we do have to deal with and issues that have to be addressed. But we don't need to become critics and cynics. We need to be encouragers. Somebody say encouragers. I want to ask for a show of hands, how many of you individuals can say, I have at least one person that they encourage me? I see most of you, if not all, you have at least one person that encourages you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of, you know, how many people have discouraged you, not necessarily by their words, but by their actions and by their attitudes. We live in a world full of discouragement, and we don't need that in the house of God. Somebody say amen. The book of Romans, chapter number 14, and I have a lot more information than I have time, but hopefully you'll get at least the heart of the message. Romans chapter 14, verse number 19 says, "Let us, therefore, follow after," that means pursue. Somebody say, pursue. "Follow after the things which make for peace and things," everybody say things, and we'll discover what those things are shortly, at least some of them, "wherewith one may edify another." Everybody say edify. Edify is the act of one who promotes another's growth, to build up. Everybody say promote growth and build up. We need people in the house of God that will obey the scriptures and learn to edify, learn to promote growth, learn to build up their brother and sister in Christ. Are you hearing the scripture today? And sometimes this is very difficult if you are not built up. In fact, it can be very, very difficult if you are not edified, if you are not strengthened, if you are not encouraged in the Lord. Not everybody has the knowledge that David had when he was facing a great tragedy and suffered great loss. He had a knowledge of God, and based on that knowledge and his experience, the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes it's very difficult to do that. It really is. In certain situations, it's very difficult. But we can come to the house of God and we can get into an environment and into an atmosphere that's very uplifting, edifying, and encouraging. So when we can't encourage ourselves, just rest assured, if I can just get where the people of God are, I'm going to get some encouragement. Does that make sense? Have you been there? New Living Translation says, "So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try or endeavor to build each other up." Build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And NLT says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." Somebody say, encourage. Come on, say, edify. Build. And I look across this this auditorium, this sanctuary today, and I am looking at people who have encouraged me just with your kind gestures, words, text messages, letting me know that you love me, that you care for me, that you have prayed for me. Those things are very encouraging, and they have helped me. And I hope that I can be as much of an encourager to you as you have been to me. Somebody say, we need each other. Amen. And of course, edification is one of the ways that we encourage our brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 12 says, "Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." Just make a note of that. Seek that you may excel. Somebody say excel. I want to excel. To the edifying of the church. 1 Corinthians 14 and 26 says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together?" Now these are some of the things whereby we edify. Are you ready? And this is not a total list, but these are some of the things that edify. "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? The end result is they need to be done unto edification. Somebody say edify. Amen. And of course, just by reading just these few scriptures, hopefully we get the idea that God is concerned with his church being built up. Somebody say, God is concerned with building his church. The word, encourage means to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. To stimulate by assistance or approval. To promote, advance, or foster. Encouragement speaks or communicates this. This is what encouragement communicates to the individual. It communicates to them, I care. I support you. I believe in you. I want you to succeed. I want you to have the victory. You're important. You're valuable. You have worth. Aren't you glad that you have people in your life that communicate those things? That you are cared for, that you are appreciated, that people do want you to succeed, that they do want you to have the victory, that they do want you to grow, to develop, to mature. It's encouraging to know that you have a support system in the house of God. Amen? There's another word, of course, that comes to mind, and this correlates with encouragement, and that is the word exhort. Somebody say exhort. Exhort means to strongly encourage or urge to do or urge to take action. I'll say it again. Exhort means to strongly encourage, urge or urge to do or urge to take action. In the King James Version of the Bible, this word is used 16 times at least, and exhortation is used about 10 times. Paul told Timothy to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And if you recall the words recorded of Peter on the day of Pentecost after he preached to them, and they were pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? And he gave them the response of repent, be baptized, every one of you. If you read a little further, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. Somebody say, Peter exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And Jude chapter number 1, verse number 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me, somebody say needful, for me to write unto you and exhort, everybody say exhort, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was delivered once unto the saints, or which was once delivered unto the saints. And if I was to put that in my own terminology, my own language, what he is saying there in my words is he is looking at the body and he is saying, keep fighting. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Don't lose sight on the goal. Not the reward, the goal. We think heaven's the goal. Heaven's the reward of reaching the goal. Knowing Jesus is the goal, heaven is our prize. It's our reward. Somebody say amen. So he is speaking to the church and he is saying, contend for the faith earnestly. Don't ever give up on this faith. Contend for it. Because if you don't contend for it, you'll never keep it. And you'll never pass it on to your children or your grandchildren. We have to fight for this faith. Somebody say it's the same faith that Abraham had. Not the ability to believe, but I'm talking about the knowledge of one God and his will. Amen. This, of course, is spirit-led encouragement. There are other methods, and I could go through a list. Some of you find it very easy to encourage others. Some of you may not find it very easy. Not because you're not spiritual, but because of some of the perspectives and perceptions and patterns and even concepts of your thinking. And perhaps even during the days of your childhood, you was raised in a very hostile environment where no one encouraged you. They were always just commanding and demanding and correcting, but there was no encouragement, no affirmation, no acknowledgement that you're doing good. You're doing good. Keep it up. And so those perspectives and perceptions and interpretations and concepts and patterns of life, you bring into your Christian life. You bring into your Christian walk with God. And of course, they need to be rooted out. Somebody say, there are some things that need to be rooted out of me. Isn't it amazing that when you come to the Lord, you believe, you repent, you're water baptized in Jesus' name, sins remitted, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your spirit is born again. Somebody say, my spirit. My flesh isn't born again. My flesh remains totally intact. In fact, there's going to come a time where my flesh finds a resting place in the soil of this earth. It's going to come or go back to the dust. But somebody say, my spirit man is resurrected by the Holy Ghost. And that is how I have fellowship and communion with God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that which is born by the Holy Ghost is your spirit, not your brain, not your thinking, not your concepts. You know, and in fact, that you can be in the church 20 years and grow old, but never be grown up. I don't know if you understand that. I mean, there is a possibility that you can be 20 years with your spiritual membership card. 20 years, so you have grown older. 20 years, 30 years, but have never grown up to the level that you are like Jesus. That you think like him, you talk like him, you act like him, and his priorities are your priorities. His agendas are your agendas. And the way you treat people is the way he treats people. Somebody say, he knows how to take care of his own. And he's wanting us to grow and become like him so that we know how to treat each other and we know how to encourage each other, etc. So I can go through some of the ways that we can encourage each other, speaking, of course, through attitude, gestures, our actions. Correction can be a form of encouragement, especially when we are able to confront a certain situation with the spirit of meekness. Somebody say, the spirit of meekness. Amen. We have the ability to motivate, to provoke unto love and good works, affirmation, acknowledgement, celebrating accomplishments. Prayer, of course, is a very, very powerful form of encouragement. But sometimes we need to do more than pray. Seriously, sometimes we need to do more. In fact, a lot of times we need to do more than just pray. Because other people around you, people in your family, just people in the congregation, people in your particular group or ministry, you do need to pray for them. We do need to pray for them. But then we need to get beyond prayer and open our mouths and do things that actually encourage them in their walk and in their relationship with God. Am I making sense so far? Support, believing them. Amen. And of course, I've mentioned earlier, it's very, very powerful to know that you have someone in your corner. You have someone rooting for you. Someone kind of like these boxers, you know, the boxers. They don't just jump in the ring and they're there all by themselves. They have a support system. They have people that are there in their corner that are coaching them and encouraging them. They're like, give him a left hook. You know, even Muhammad Ali, as great as he was, needed someone in his corner to encourage him, to tell him, move your head, son, move your head. Block your body, block your body. What are they doing? They're encouraging him to protect himself so he don't get beat to a pulp.
And we need people in the house of God to encourage us. Duck. Block your body. Start praying a little more. Start spending a little bit more time with God. I had an individual come to me recently, and a young man, and he said, I really feel like I want to just do something for the Lord. I want to get involved in ministry. And my first question to him was this: do you spend time with God every day in prayer? Do you study the Word of God? He says, well, actually I'm kind of slacking in that area. I said, well, we'll talk about ministry later. Come to me again after you have learned how to spend time with God in your house by yourself. You've learned how to study and search the Scriptures and build a relationship with God. Brother Sal, were you just getting on his case and telling him how bad he was? No. I was showing him his potential. I was showing him what he could do, what he could have. Somebody say, we need people like that. We need people to provoke us unto love and unto good works. And we need people to help us understand the power, amen, of a relationship with God via prayer and study and communion and worship outside of the congregation. Somebody said that's encouragement. And we'll talk about ministry later. Everybody has a ministry. You know why? Now when I say everybody, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. If you are in the body of Christ, God knows who you are and where you are. But a lot of times you don't know who you are or where you are or what you have. But once you do realize what you have and who you are and what you can do, it will launch you. It will motivate you. It will strengthen you. It will give you confidence. Why would you say that, Brother Sat? Why would you say that everybody has a ministry? Because everybody in the body of Christ has the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Does that mean they're perfect? No. Does that mean that that they've totally matured and become just like Christ? No. We're all on different levels. But what I'm saying is this: the anointing that works in me is the same anointing that can work in you. And you don't need a microphone, you don't need a pulpit to be a Christ-like minister of the gospel. You don't need a microphone to pray for somebody, to speak a word to somebody, to pray the prayer of faith for somebody. Amen. The whole body of Christ is called into the ministry of Jesus Christ. Is that encouraging? Is that encouraging to know that you are included in the ministry? Didn't say you were called to be pastor, teacher, bishop, deacon, worker of miracles. But you have an anointing in you by the Holy Ghost. Is that encouraging? All right. Numbers chapter number 13. Some of you know the story. The majority come back with a negative report. They come back and they said, man, look at did you see the giants? Did you see all the obstacles? Did you see all the challenges? There's no way that we could take this land. And the Bible says they brought back an evil report. When we bring back a report that is contrary to the report of the Lord, we are bringing back an evil report, a report of unbelief, of doubt and fear and unbelief and distrust. But the Bible says in 13 of 30 of Numbers that Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it. Why? Because we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to conquer and to possess this land. This is a promise from God. And apparently, Caleb was encouraged and he believed God. He believed what God said. He believed that they could have everything that God said was theirs. And that their victory and their conquering was not based on natural ability, but it was based on the promise, the provision, the power of their Almighty God. Somebody say he believed the report of the Lord. And you may have people in your life that are struggling, that are sick, that are down and out, that are discouraged. Listen, I would recommend the first step would be to pray and get some direction from the Lord. Because you can go about, with good intentions, but with very little wisdom, and, you know, your attempt, even though it was with good intentions, may not turn out the way you hoped it would turn out, simply because of a lack of compassion, or a lack of sympathy or empathy, or just a lack of wisdom. Somebody say we need wisdom if we're going to be encouragers. Amen. And of course, you have read the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? So, and I've said before, and I have said a number of years, if God be for us, then you need to be for us. If God is for building his church, you need to be for building his church. Because if we aren't for us, then we are, by default, we are against us. And if we're not, Jesus said, if you're not working with me, you're actually working against me. So it is possible for his own disciples, for his own children, to actually work against him. Somebody say, that's not good. All right. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses number 29 says, let no corrupt communication, poor quality, worthless, rotten, foul, abusive communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Now, I'm not talking about flattery. I'm not talking about flattering people. Now, you can learn how to flatter people and it not be godly. But he says, let things that are good to the use of edifying, let those things come forth, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Somebody say, words are powerful. Say it to the neighbor or the person sitting close to you. Say, words are very powerful. Why don't you tell them you look lovely today, you look handsome today, you look sharp today, you look awesome today, if it's appropriate, based on who you're talking to. Be careful now. Somebody say, use some wisdom. But you've heard as a little child, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie. Your bones can be repaired. They can be healed. They can be fused back together, but words can wound a spirit. And sometimes a wounded spirit is never healed, but they remain crippled for the rest of their life. So words are very powerful. And things that were spoken to you as a young person, some of those things are still affecting you today. And if you were to analyze your life, your behavior, your thought process, your outlook on life, relationships, and even God, you can determine what's healthy, what's not healthy. And some of us can trace things all the way back to the early years, probably the first 10 years of our life, that affected us, and we can learn to live with it. We can learn to cope and never be healed. So knowing that we are creatures of habit, there are some habits that must be broken. Some habits just must be put away and put off and destroyed. Do you know that God doesn't destroy your habits? Did you know that? Come on, talk back to me. God doesn't destroy your habits. You do. Now, he can deliver you, but then you can go right back into the same mess, the same pattern, the same habit. Now, God can take away. He can take away things. Yes, he can. We've seen him do it miraculously, supernaturally, instantly, just like he can heal people. But there are some things that God will never take away from you, because he's given you the power, the ability, the responsibility to put them away yourself. And that's one reason why the scripture says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Somebody say, there are things that I have to do. There are things that I have to put away. And of course, the Lord encourages us to do so. We have to learn how to discipline ourselves, especially our tongue. And the one way to discipline your tongue is to give your heart completely to the Lord every single day. Because if we don't give our heart to the Lord every single day and yield ourselves, our humanity, yield our infirmity, our weakness, our attitude, our way of life, the way we just, you know, the way we are, if we don't learn to yield ourselves completely to the Lord, then we will never be a strong encourager. We'll never be one that can edify another. So I have to daily, because I know that I could potentially say something or do something that's unhealthy and that could damage and that could hurt or that could offend. And so I have to give myself to the Lord every single day. Somebody say, I can do that. Can you brush your teeth every day? Can you eat breakfast and lunch and dinner every day? Can you take a bath every day? Can you put your shoes on every day? Well, you can give yourself to God every single day. That's right. Let's all stand together this morning. It's 10:51. And as I said to you earlier, I do have more information than I have time. So just stretch a little bit and let me give you some closing thoughts. Some closing thoughts. Come on, just get a good stretch out here. I'm trying to encourage you right now. I'm trying to encourage you, John. Just stretch. I'm not going to say touch your toes because you may not be able to do that. I don't know. But let me give you a closing thought here. Are you ready? Here is some advice. I wrote these things down as advice to myself and also to my listeners. Never minimize even the slightest efforts of those who are trying to do right. Never minimize, never belittle that. And also, a word of wisdom, leave correcting to those who are in authority, those who are in place to correct. Just because you're smarter and older and been around longer doesn't mean it's your place to correct them. Are you hearing me? Because the correction may be right, but you may be out of place. And what you thought was encouraging has now become discouraging because it's out of the character and out of the order of God. Does that make sense? Now that's a nugget of wisdom there. Don't demand perfection in everything that is being done. I know we like things to be perfect, but that's not reality. Except that people grow and develop and mature in stages. Don't expect a 10-year-old to be as skilled as and mature as a 20-year-old. Learn to be an encourager and a support even when it's baby steps. Somebody say, even when it's baby steps. And of course, celebrate the accomplishments and encourage them to keep moving, keep reaching, keep going. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. They're God's people, not yours. They're God's kids, not your kids. The youth and the students and those that I mentor, they're not mine. They're God's. And we have to always remember that. Because if we forget, there's a chance that we may mishandle and may mistreat. And we may discourage. And we don't want to do that, do we? They're God's kids. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's join together in prayer. Father, thank you for your good word. Thank you for sending people into my life to help me, to send me text messages, to send me cards and words of comfort and consolation and encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for putting people in my life that believe that I can succeed, that I can live, that I can grow, that I can overcome, that I can resist temptation, that I can experience victory in my life. Thank you, Lord, for sending people that will pray, that will support, that will love, that will edify. God, we ask you to help each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to be encouragers to our brother and sister, to realize that we do have the ability. We do have the ability to encourage, to edify, to exhort, to strengthen, to provoke unto love and good works. And I'm asking you, Lord, on a daily basis, help me to be aware of this. Help me to be conscious of this, that on a daily basis, I can make a difference. And by the grace and by the love of God, I will do it in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands and thank God for His word. Amen. You may take a few minutes and just refresh yourself, and we'll begin our main service here in about 5 or 6 minutes. Lord bless you.